The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith, with Ronnie Howard. Also starring Don Knotts.
Hey, well, hello, Bert. Come on in. You look a little tired.
Oh, thank you, Floyd. I don't want to be a bother. Can I just sit on the bench out there? I was just a little afraid of that goat that was tied up out there.
Well, that's just Jimmy. Hudge probably just left him tied up there while he did a little bit of shopping.
Oh, well, I didn't want to disturb him. I didn't want to bother him or anything. The goat was there first, after all.
Well, it doesn't matter. The shop's empty. Quiet afternoon, I guess. Have a seat.
Thanks. It's good to set the case down and get off my feet for a while. It's been a long day of ringing doorbells. Hey, what's that sign there in the window, Floyd?
Oh, it's about the big hayride coming up Friday night.
A hayride? Well, that sounds like fun. But isn't that just for children?
Oh, no, it's not. No. There have been a lot of good stories coming out of those hayrides. Some romances began there, you know.
Oh, really? Like who?
Well, Barney and Thelma Lou, for starters.
Oh, well, I thought they met at Wilton Bear's funeral.
Well, that's where they met. But that funeral parlor that Mr. Swamp took over from Orville Monroe, it's not really a place to strike up a romance. Even though there often are flowers around.
Yeah, I guess the mood is a little cold.
That's funny. Cold. The back room is cold. It's cold. I went back there one day to comb Johnny Harris's hair. God rest his soul. After you've been kicked in the head by a mule, getting the part right takes a little extra work.
Well, I would imagine so. Well, how did Barney and Thelma Lou meet then?
Well, Barney was lining up some cards for the funeral procession, you see, and he was being very fuzzy about the order. You know, something about widow, parents, children, sisters, brothers, niece, nephews, you know, and so on. He's very particular about those type things. You know, sometimes he won't eat his main course until the fruit and vegetables have been eaten. You know that? Andy asked him why he was letting a few green beans hold up his fried chicken while it was still hot. You know, he wouldn't eat. He said something about his stomach being a finely tuned instrument. It was used to a certain order of cadence of food groups and things like that. You know, that's what Bernie said.
Well, that's a little silly. It all goes to the same place, doesn't it?
That's right, yeah, that's right. Andy said, Barney, I wouldn't want to stir up your marching band of food groups or anything, but you better make sure your drumsticks and your marching thighs don't get left behind, because it's good chicken. Yeah, it's good chicken. Yeah, drumsticks and marching band thighs. Anyway, Thelma Lou wasn't a blood relative of Wilton, yeah. But her mother, they had been very good friends of Miss Blair, and she wanted Thelma Lou to be up there with the immediate family.
Oh, a breach of Barney's protocol then, huh? Dessert before drumsticks.
That's right, yeah. And he walks up to her car and said, "Well, little lady, just what do you think you're doing parking your car here along with the immediate family? Funeral procession protocol, you know, it calls for the widow, living parents, children, you know, brothers, sisters. You know. Well, about that time, he stopped immediately.
Did a thaw hit him?
No. A car door did. She flung that door open to stand up to Barney. Yeah, she flew it up. Yeah. They caught him right in the gut. And she didn't even notice. And she stood up, her pretty long black dress with a lace collar, and said, "Well, officer, my mother happens to be Mrs. Blair's best friend, and I spent lots of times as a little girl at her house, and Wilton used to read to me. In fact, when my mother took ill, I moved in to live with them for a while." Then her face welled up in tears, and she kept on going. She said, "I may not be a blood relative, but they were like parents to me."
Oh, goodness. Barney really stepped into that one, didn't he? Oh, I bet he felt real bad.
Oh, yes, he did. He felt terrible. You see, he was leaning over, trying to catch his breath from the door that hit him in the stomach. Was opening his arms to give her a hug, to comfort her while she was crying. She fell into his arms, sobbing. He held on to her because he felt bad. And they stood there long enough time that Chester Jones hollered from across the street, "Hey, Barney, you going to give her a ticket or a kiss?"
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I guess that was awkward.
Yeah, Barney was pretty embarrassed. Yeah. He found out she was moving back to Mayberry to stay with Mrs. Blair for a while. Yeah. She just finished her secretarial school and was going to try to get a job at the insurance office. Yeah, he felt bad. He felt bad. So he invited her to go on the hayride that weekend.
Oh, the hayride. So that's where the romance began.
Well, technically, the romance began right there on the street outside Wilton Blair's funeral. With her tears in her eyes and him trying to catch his breath. But yes, you know the cover bridge out by Jeff Pruitt's place. You know that one?
Yeah. Yeah, didn't that used to be a barn until Jeff decided to make a road through there between his cornfields for his tractors? You know, to get to the main road faster.
Yeah, that's the one. Pruitt's Path. Yeah, Pruitt's Path. Yeah. Well, I hear that they were going through that dark bridge, and Jeff took kind of slow, pulling the wagon over the barn floor. Yeah. Yeah. When they came out the other side, Barney had lipstick all over his face. Yeah. Jenny Boone threw her husband Fred off the wagon, and Harold Fletcher and his girl Lorraine were engaged, and Phoebe Gilbert, she was looking really good there, too.
Whoa! Oh, so that's some covered bridge. Who was with Phoebe?
Man, nobody. You know, nobody when the night started. But they say Mr. Swamp moved over real close to her and had a big smile on his face and cleared his throat a few times.
Yeah, like he was going to talk.
Yeah. Well, either that or sing a song or something.
Yeah. Oh, you know him. Yeah. You know, I knew him back when he actually made sounds. Oh, he was just such a mess of the uhs and the stutters. I rung his doorbell one time, and he stood there for 5 minutes trying to say, "Come in." Oh, I finally opened up my case and brought some socks and some ties and matching pocket squares and a big roll of two-sided sticky tape. He bought it all.
Oh, you know, he needed that tape for, you know.
Well, to keep the pocket squares in.
Yeah. Well, let's just say to tape down a rug somewhere so he didn't slide around or blow away.
Oh, Floyd. Yeah, that could be a hazard if your rug slides, especially if he dances a lot.
Yeah, well, he does like to cut a rug, doesn't he? Yeah, he's a party animal, Mr. Schwab. Yeah, he gets to flirting with the ladies and drinking root beer. And then, who knows what he's smiling and nodding about. Who knows what he's doing? Yeah. Oh, look out the window there. Yeah. Is that Nellie walking by? Hi, Nellie.
Hello, Nellie. Hello.
Yeah, she's got a nice wave. Yeah, a nice wave. Yeah. She don't say much, though. She's a lot like Mr. Swan.
Yeah. Come to think of it, she is a little bit like him, isn't she? Hey, you know, there's a rumor that he's kind of sweet on her.
Well, you know, Of course I know that. Yeah, of course I know that. Mr. Swamp, sweet old Nelly. You don't run a small town barbershop for 30 years and not know some little rumors in town.
Well, I don't know, Floyd. You're kind of confined there with the men in town. If you want to really hear the hot gossip, you got to get out about town and go door to door and listen to folks in their homes and see what you see.
Really? Door to door in their homes. Yeah, see what you see. That's interesting. What do you see, Bert?
Well, you know old man Wakefield? He once strolled through the house in his altogether.
His altogether? You mean...
That's right. Head to toe, one piece of flannel underwear all the way. But it was funny. He had one of those flaps in the back. You know, the ones that snap undone. Yeah, well... No secret where he'd been.
Yeah, no secret where he'd been. Where'd he been?
Well, he's in the outhouse or something. He must have been out there. They don't have indoor plumbing out there. He's just prancing around through the house with his red box showing through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's that's for his all. He snaps it. What else have you seen, Bert?
Well, you know Claude Beeman family? You know them? Yeah, you know how they're all prim and polite when you see them on Sunday morning?
Well, yes. Yeah, Claude Jr., Claudette, yeah, very proper, yeah, very proper.
I was there once, selling her some utensils. Claude was back in the bedroom. Apparently, he was looking for something. He hollered, "Where's my brown boots?" I could tell she was a little bit annoyed and for a second, forgot I was there, and she spun around and hollered, "Right there under the bed where you left them, you meathead."
Oh, she called him a meathead. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, he kind of does favor a lamb chop, doesn't he? Meathead. Claude Beeman.
So, what are you here? Here at the shop, Floyd. You're here at the shop. What do you hear?
What do I hear? Yeah, how dare you? Well, you know what it says on the sidewalk out there? Bobby Gribble hates him a lot. Well, I know why he hated her. Yeah, I know why.
Really? Well, why'd he hate her?
They were sort of seeing each other, you know, a long time ago. And they got into an argument about Emma's friend, Frances Benjamin. You know, Benjamin. Yeah, Bobby said she looked more like Benjamin Franklin. Emma got pretty steamed up about that, so Bobby, he went out and bought her a snow cone, a blueberry snow cone, I believe it was. He took it over to her and said, "Here, cool off and forget about our homely friend, Benji." Well, she took that snow cone and dumped it on his head. It ran down to his ears and all down his shirt, yeah, and everywhere. Yeah, he came stomping in here and asked for some shampoo. Yeah, so I shampooed. They had just had finished pouring that cement out there. So when I got finished with the haircut, he went out there and wrote that in the cement. Bobby Gribble hates him a lot.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a good story, Floyd.
Oh, yeah. And did you know that Mr. Meldrum dries his own hair? He dyes it.
Yeah. Oh, you don't say.
Yes. I once gave him a haircut, and my hands were so black, it looked like I work at the blacksmith shop. Have you heard one about Judd falling asleep at church?
Well, no, I don't think I've heard that. But I've seen it happen to Goma.
Yeah, this is a little bit different. It's a little bit different. You see, he goes to the Lutheran church out there on the highway where Thelma Lou goes. And you know Edgar Coleman, he does a lot of volunteer work for him. Well, one week he waxed the pews and they got real shiny. Yeah, real shiny. Yeah. I guess he did them up so well that they were all slick, you see. They were very slippery. Yeah. Well, Judd dozes off, as he usually does at church, and he was just, he was starting to slide down. He was sliding down where you couldn't even see the top of his head from the back of the... Yeah. The preacher was getting all fired up and hollered out loud, real loud. He yelled, "He lives!" The old Judd woke up, and so startled, he straightened his legs and slipped right back up in time to holler, "Amen!" And I guess everybody laughed. They called it the resurrection song. Edgar Coleman, he felt bad. Yeah. He said he should have installed some seatbelts for John.
Oh, that must have been funny. Oh, hey, look, here he comes.
Who, Judd? Oh, hello, Mr. Swamp. Would you like a haircut?
I don't think he wants one, Floyd.
Oh, I didn't think so. All right, you want another bottle of the best witch hazel? Well, it's okay. Yeah, Mr. Swamp, here you go. Yeah, that'll be $1.79. Yeah, yeah. And here's your change. Yeah. 21 cents. There you are. Yeah. Hey, Nellie just went by a few minutes ago. Yeah, not. Well, have a nice day, Mr. Swamp. Yeah, see you later.
See you, Mr. Swamp. Oh, I should have some new product squares coming in next month.
Yeah, did you see that smile on his face, Bert, when I said Nellie just went by?
It wasn't a smile, that was a smirk.
Well, what's the difference? Yeah.
Oh, he knew she was out because she came from his funeral parlor. She was going in that direction.
Oh, she came from over the funeral. Well, Nellie, there haven't been any deaths for 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, but it is past 2 o'clock. She comes over and they listen to a radio show, Gunsmoke, out in the back office. It started once during a slow visitation. He invited her back there to sign some papers and offered her a root beer. But she took a sarsaparilla out of the refrigerator and they listened to Gunsmoke.
Oh, hey, you know, I like Doc on that show. He's my favorite. He's good. Doc's on there. He's good on Gunsmoke. Yeah. How do you know they were listening to Gunsmoke?
Hazel, I sell her hair nets. She found them in there together, listening to the radio. You know, she plays the organ there for the funerals. She was mighty upset.
Upset? Well, is she sweet on Mr. Swamp, too?
No, it was her sarsaparilla, her private spot. She's still holding the candle for Mr. John Masters. You know that, didn't you?
Oh, I see. Well, I thought Mr. Swamp and Nellie seemed to show up a lot for the same social events. Yeah. You think he talks to her?
No, he can't talk to her. You see, she has this calendar with a lot of faces, famous people, and, you know, on the cover. Then each month, it's a different portrait of a famous person like Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt or Herbert Hoover, Mark Twain, and, you know, so forth. I sold a bunch of them for $2. People use them for appointments and such. Well, she calls it her Facebook. She leaves it on her back porch, and he comes strolling through the alley and goes and picks it up and writes in things on certain dates, like Tuesday at 7 o'clock, Garden Club, Edward's House on Wednesday at noon, Founders Day Planning Committee, City Hall, and so forth, and then they just both show up there.
Well, what do you know? People communicate by Facebook. Yeah, never heard of such a thing as that. Yeah, well, I don't know if that'll catch on or not. What'll they think of next? Yeah. No wonder they show up at the same events all the time, though, if they're writing it in the calendar there. Yeah, her Facebook.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't know about that, Floyd.
Hey, say, Bert, did you say you're finished up for the day?
Yeah, I think so. Enough doorbells for the day.
Let's see. Razors, whisper. Do you mind if I borrow this case for a few hours?
Well, I guess not.
Yeah, here's the keys. Yeah, you stay as long as you like.
Well, okay, but where are you going?
Hey, Floyd Lawson Enterprises is branching out. Yeah, Floyd Lawson, door-to-door barber. Let's just see how that goes. Hello, Miss Phoebe. I'm Floyd Lawson, and I'd like to offer you a free trial of door-to-door hair care service. May I come in? Thank you.
Floyd's barbershop. Floyd ain't here right now.
Bert, it's me, Floyd. How much do you want for this black midnight perfume and the button sewing kit?
Well,
hey, wait till I tell you about Phoebe's date with Barney Fife.
Oh, Floyd.